Mini episode 556 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Unheard Scene, your home for great music interviews of all stripes. Follow them on the web at unheardscene.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. Here in the FDH Lounge, it's Rick Morris and Kyle Ross. We've been breaking down the NFL division by division, looking back at 2014, ahead to 2015, and we are here at the climax of the series, perhaps the apex of the series, whatever it is. It's the NFC West. We're getting to this one here, and we are breaking this down with the team that has stood astride it the last 2 years, Seattle. And coming into the last couple of years, there was a little bit of doubt as to whether it would be Seattle or San Francisco, a great rivalry that was broken up by the egos in the San Francisco front office and ownership. So, again, it's now Jim Tomsula in there as the new San Francisco coach. And I guess I could just wrap it up by saying Seattle wins by default. Nothing else to see here. But for the sake of argument, let's continue to go through this division, Kyle.
Yeah, just a horrible end of the season for Seattle. It's funny. I don't really want to talk about the Super Bowl. It was a very bitter end to me.
Right. Bad for me, too.
It will be interesting to see how they respond. Now, either way, I knew I wasn't going to be picking Seattle to win the Super Bowl this year. As you know, I picked them each of the last 2 years to win. I was right 2 years ago, obviously. And then this past year, they were one play away. It looked like I was going to be right again. But either way, no team had ever three-peated.
Right.
So they had that work against them. Now that they've lost the Super Bowl, we always know that the team that lost the previous year's Super Bowl hasn't gotten back there since the Bills teams in the early 90s. But to your point, which you just made about how it was Seattle and San Francisco, this great rivalry, battle for supremacy, you didn't know, it was a tight division race. Although Seattle rightly is going to be deflated after the way they lost the Super Bowl, and it's interesting to see how they respond off that, This division is now theirs for the taking.
Yep.
I can paint this division pretty quickly compared to some of the other ones. Arizona's going to regress. I know I said that last year and I was wrong, but I'm confident this year. San Francisco did regress this past year, which normally means either they kind of hold steady or get a little bounce back.
Right.
With the coaching change, I cannot stress what a dumb move getting rid of Jim Harbaugh was.
I agree.
So they're not going to be any better.
I don't even like Jim Harbaugh personally, and I'll agree with that. Now, they've gotten a lot of the regression out of their system because they were one of the biggest underachievers in the league last year, even at 8-8. But I'm going to say 7-9 for them next year. I think that's the floor for their talent, and I think they will find that floor.
I could 7-9 sounds like a fair pick.
Still one of the most talented teams in the league. That's got to count for something.
They're a little older. People don't recognize they're an older roster. So I mean,
not super old, but yeah, they're older than.
I mean, because Kaepernick's not old. Everyone's like, oh, it's not an old team, but they're an older team. They're older than you think.
Right.
Seattle, with again, let's look. You and I have been on this bandwagon for a while now. This is a very good team, even if they didn't win the Super Bowl. I think a case could be made that they were the best team in the league at the end of the year each of the last three seasons.
Yes.
They were never blown out. They're never blown out. Their worst loss this year was by 9 points in week 2 at San Diego, a game that was extraordinarily hot temperatures. They've got the best home field in the league. There's no – Seattle's kind of like, along with New England, is a team you just pencil in a 12-4.
Pretty much.
I see this being a runaway this year,
yeah.
Whereas the last couple of years have been a fight.
I
actually see, although Seattle may not be as good as they've been in previous seasons this year, they will run away with the division because Arizona's not hitting that win total, San Francisco's not going to improve, and until St. Louis gets a real quarterback, they're not going to be a real
threat
either.
That's an excellent point. I said Seattle 12-4 last year. Let me put it to you this way. This is going to smack of reverse engineering. I don't think I can say 12-4. Because I'm not at the moment leaning towards them winning the NFC. If I said 12-4, I'd probably have to say they're winning the NFC, because 12-4, I think, would get home field advantage.
That's
and
the
nobody's
going
to beat them there. So that's if I'm
could
saying,
they be? I mean, would you be shocked if they? I mean, if they broke the? I mean, going into last year, it didn't happen, but Denver legitimately had a shot at it. I mean,
sure.
San Francisco did too. 2 years, San Francisco
yeah.
actually came closer.
Oh yeah,
they were one.
Yeah.
They were one pass away.
Right.
So it's been close. So the fact that it hasn't been done since Buffalo doesn't mean that we should say, well, Seattle has no chance to go to the playoffs. Because I'll be honest with you, I told you in the North one that Green Bay,
yeah.
I don't think will have as good a record this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm kind of picking two upstarts in the other division.
Right.
So to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle did have home field and returns to the Super Bowl.
Well, they very possibly could. A couple things about Seattle. You said you thought the record would be as good, even if they're not as good. And that's an interesting thing here, because let's trace this historically. I think it's going to go down at the 2013 Seahawks. Regardless of how this run goes, the 2013 Seahawks are probably going to go down as the best team of the run. They remind me of the 92 Cowboys, sort of that apex of it. Still early in the run. But sometimes when your guys are that young and have that much speed defensively, defense being a big strength of both teams, that's what they have in common. Sometimes that's where you are at your best. They, this year, I agree with you, arguably the best team in the league. They weren't where they were overall in 2013 and won't be at that level again next year. It may be enough to win the NFC and or the NFL. Here's the thing, is that in the salary cap era, these guys all came cheap. A lot of great mid-round values here.
Eventually,
you got to start paying. We saw it last year with Sherman.
And now Wilson's the next domino.
The next
and Lynch,
guy up.
They're working
Lynch.
On this Lynch deal. Although I think he gets a hometown discount because the market's just not going to be inside. No one's going to want to pay an older running back that wasn't on their team before.
One of the things, though, that and this was a back-of-my-mind concern about Seattle during the year. I probably voiced it a few times on the show. I don't remember off the top of my head. And in the Super Bowl, it was like, wow, I was actually wrong. This is even a much bigger deal than I thought. The wide receiving core, it's a problem. They had to get rid of Harvin. I understand that for various reasons.
And I don't think they would have been, for the record, I don't think they would have been a lot better with Percy.
Maybe not, but
Golden Tate, yeah.
Here's the thing. Well, with Baldwin and with Curse as your main guys.
You can get a receiver in the draft.
And they're going to have to do that.
Paul Richardson, who you're high on.
Yes. And in fairness, they were counting on him, from what I read, filling the Harvin role late in the year, but he got hurt. But here's the thing. In the Super Bowl, and for as much as, and again, I'm not looking to get into the Super Bowl second-guessing either, but it tells us about the macro state of their offense, is that everyone is criticizing Bevel for his call at the end, and rightly so. Where he deserves credit during the game is getting Chris Matthews into it this much. Let's just lob
Let's
it to the
hardball.
Tall guy. Yeah, they were playing hardball. Let's lob it to the tall guy. But Kyle, if that's what you got to do in the Super Bowl,
it's not no
to disguise the
all,
fact that you don't have a consistent passing game.
In the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl,
yeah,
their offense didn't look good.
They were exposed. And the thing of it is, by the way, too, but this is another thing. This is another feather in the cap, though, as I see it, for Russell Wilson. The fact that he can make these chodes look good, even on the occasions that he does, for all the people out there who think he's lucky to be where he is, gee, they're at least as equally lucky to have him, because there's not a lot of quarterbacks that could elevate these guys like he can. They'd be even suckier without him.
You know what it's like? It's like the receivers, it's like with Tom Brady. Everyone said early in his career, oh, this Tom Brady, I don't think he's that great.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson would have cut off his left nard to have Brandon LaFell, and they might have won the Super Bowl if they had.
But I'm talking about the early Brady, like the 0-2, like the Deion Branches of the world.
Troy Brown. Yeah, I'd still take
those guys
above what he has, though.
This is one of the worst
receiving cores ever to make a Super Bowl.
I think they're comparable, those receiving cores. I think Doug Baldwin on most teams wouldn't be good, but he's one of those guys who on Seattle, he kind of works.
How does he run his yap as much as he does? He sucks.
Well, I don't know. Everyone on Seattle runs their yap.
Yeah,
that's
but
what they do.
Richard Sherman is a disgusting person, but he has great talent.
I think he's a phenomenal human
being. Has great talent. Doug Baldwin doesn't have any talent.
Their
he
culture,
runs his mouth.
They coach him up, Pete. culture.
Okay, well, I guess so. But, so, yeah, so they so win this by
I think Seattle runs. I actually just think they run away with this division.
They are.
Arizona's a regression. I know we said it last year, and we were proven wrong.
They are, and I, again.
Carson Palmer. We don't so know everyone's going to be like, oh, well, he'll come back. Well, how long is he going to hold up?
Well, and we don't know if he's going to be in at the beginning of the season anyways. At his age, that would be a miraculous recovery. I'll tell you this, though.
And they again, were 5-1 in close games.
They were, but I mean, I think it has to be said, unless he has a really bad team, and he doesn't, Bruce Arians' floor right now is like 8-8. It just is.
They lost,
I don't know how.
Lost Todd Bowles.
Dude, you know what? But here's the thing, though. For 2 years now, I've been picking against the guy. Maybe this is the third year in a row he's going to make me look stupid because I'm finally going to get
hell,
on the
I was
bandwagon.
Picking him down the stretch. I was picking him to get down the stretch when he was in Indianapolis as the interim.
Yeah, again, he's been making me look stupid for a while. Well, part of it is, too, I remember when he was in Cleveland. I remember doing a predecessor show to this one on back on the old late-lamented Sports Talk Network where I said that, and this was under Butch Davis, where I said that he was the Haley's Comet of bad offensive coordinators. And we see now that was all Butch Davis. Clearly, it's weird that I hated Butch Davis as much as I did and couldn't see that he was responsible for that. But, again, this whole thing, you know, 8-8, that's got to be their floor. Defensively, they're going to bounce back from where they were. It was a weird year. They sort of underachieved defensively. And it's so funny that got Todd Bowles a head coaching job, which goes to show you, I think, and that's a good move by the Jets. They were more impressed by the man and his capabilities than the track record because the defense regressed from what they were the previous year. It's amazing they won 11 games. You would have thought that
defense...
Well,
they had all those injuries.
Yeah, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. That doesn't account for Patrick Peterson having a bad year.
Yeah,
So... Yeah, how does that team win 11 games without that defense its head?
They went 11-5. They only outscored teams by 11 points.
Yeah.
So I think all signs point to regression
8-8,
here.
7-9, whatever.
Yeah, I would say 7-9, 6-10.
I can't say 6-10 as long as Arians is there. But, I mean, again, that 7-9, 8-8 vote is kind of where I'm throwing everybody
else. I'll
pick
7-9, yeah, probably. And what do we say about the Rams?
You know, I'll
they
went
6-10 last year. You know, but I think they didn't beat somebody in the division because they only had two division wins. They must have got swept by Arizona because they beat Seattle the one time.
Yeah.
They beat Denver, too. St. Louis is a weird team.
They always play
up.
They're an odd team.
They are. Until they get a real quarterback,
right?
They're not a playoff team.
No, and that's true. That's true. They're
and Sam Bradford's not a real quarterback.
I think he is, but they're going to let him go. So they're going to be back in the whole, you know, mediocre stew of Austin, what's-his-faces, and Sean Hills, and all these guys that don't, you know, I wouldn't give a warm bucket of spit for all of them combined. So ultimately, yeah, I think they're not going to advance beyond that. Might they make a quarterback move in the draft? Possibly.
Well, they're not going to get... Winston and Mariota will be gone by the time
probably
they pick
not.
First. So, I mean, you're looking at a second round.
What do you think about the young fella from UCLA? I could possibly see that.
I've seen that. Yeah. And you know what? If they could get him in round two, I think that might be – although Brett Hundley is who you're talking about.
Guy will be playing in his home college market in his second year if they do that.
Yes, that's true. And who knows? That could be a Stan Kroenke then could say,
yes.
pick him.
Yes.
There were some things I didn't like about him when I watched him a little more closely. Like,
inconsistent.
Like, it was funny. 2 years ago when he had the big breakout campaign and you would see the highlights, you're like, oh, this guy looks good. But then I watched him because UCLA was on TV more last year. And I was like, oof.
Right.
So, and you're going to see that why he's not he's no longer, you know, a top first-round pick. But I wouldn't be against that pick.
Their problems go beyond that, though, in terms of the wide receivers because, again, Tavon Austin, I called it when they did it, one of the stupidest moves I've seen. He's a gadget guy. You don't take gadget guy. You know, that'd be like taking Ice Cube McNeil, if I may make a Cleveland reference, in the first round. You don't do that. Tavon Austin was never going to be an every-down guy. But the rest of the guys there, yeah, we can blame the quarterbacking. But I say both. Why just blame the quarterback when we can blame everybody? There are no weapons there. For anybody, you have Trey Mason and the possibility of a good ground-based offense, but again, as you've pointed out,
their defense is great.
And their defense is great, but I mean, and we could look at that and say, well, duh, Ricky, that's what Seattle did in the same division. Okay, isn't there only pretty much one Seattle per generation where you can get away with that? And oh, by the way, Seattle also has a fellow named Russell Wilson out there. You people might want to look into him if you're making that comparison.
Do we think anyone besides Seattle makes the playoffs in this division?
No, no, none of
Neither
these
do
other
I.
teams.
Neither do
no.
I. It's funny that as much as we rip on the South, I think there's a better chance. So here's the thing. So I like my four picks of division winners in the NFC. Seattle, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and the Giants. So we have two big holdovers and
Atlanta
two surprises.
Atlanta and Philly are the ones that I change
okay.
up on.
So as far as wild cards go in the NFC, we've made a lot of cases that about teams that aren't. So in the end, just going through, Dallas is going to regress and not make it. Washington's not very good in the East. Detroit won't make it in the North because they're a regression team. I don't like Atlanta in the South, and I don't like any team in the West. So I'm looking at, for wild cards, like Philly, Chicago, Minnesota, New Orleans?
You know what? I am going to say Minnesota under the circumstances. I'm going to say Minnesota.
They went 1-5 in the division. That should improve.
And I may have to join you on the Giants bandwagon for lack of other alternatives. I'll say Giants to take the other spot based on, again, Peyton Manning.
Oh,
having
my Giants. You're with Peyton. See, what's funny is I might take Eagles.
Or Eli Manning, rather.
I might take
Eli's going to look like Peyton. I guess that's a Freudian slip.
I might take your Eagles to be a wild card team, too. I just
you
couldn't tell
you. You absolutely have to because there's no other alternatives.
To?
Absolutely, Kyle. How many process of elimination? How can you pick? How can you say
I might pick New Orleans to be a wild card team.
New Orleans and Philly? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say, Giants and Vikings. I will go with the Vikings.
I could see the Vikings. You know, I'll be honest with you. I really think the I really think the Bears could, like, jump to, like, 9-7.
It's possible. I wouldn't rule it out. It depends on what they do in the offseason. They're in the same boat as Atlanta. How much can they upgrade defensively? Mm-hmm. And they have their need is more urgent, frankly, because Atlanta, you know, when you're winning the South, you know, the Bears here, I think we agree, you know, you don't go from where they were to challenging the Packers. They're in the wild card bracket, essentially. Mm-hmm. The wild card bracket is still more challenging than the NFC South. So it's going to be tougher for them to get back on their feet this quickly than Atlanta. In terms of reverse engineering, I alluded to this before. I'm going to only pick Seattle to win the NFC West at 11-5 because you convinced me on Green Bay. There could be some fall off there. I still am going to pick Green Bay at 11-5. Hence, in the tiebreaker.
They'll play each other. Where's that? It's probably going to be in Green Bay because they played in Seattle this year, right?
Yes.
Is it? You got
I'm
your
going
handy
to pick.
Schedule, though, sure.
Yes, it is. I remember that. I remember that it is at Lambeau next year.
That's a big double revenge spot for the Pack.
Double revenge spot. I will pick Green Bay in that game, much like a year ago, New England and Denver. I picked New England to win the AFC because they were going to host Denver, and that could be critical in the tiebreaker.
I could see Green Bay
I will
winning
pick
this
Green
conference.
Bay to win the game, win the conference, my Super Bowl 50 pick in San Francisco next year, or Santa Clara or whatever, Green Bay over San Diego. Book it.
I'm not making one yet.
Okay.
How's that for a...
I mean, a year
Rick
ago...
Rick Morris wondering why he invited me over.
No.
I just think this is going to be one of those fluky years.
It's going
like,
to be.
A couple, like, it's not going to be like the last two where
no.
you and I were real right and it was pretty obvious.
But the last two, the chalk was fairly obvious. There was
this
a
short year it's getting
list.
A little murkier.
It is
Denver
getting murkier.
On the decline.
It is.
Seattle, how do they respond?
Yeah.
You know...
Yeah, and the fact that it's so hard to win the conference 3 years in a row.
New England, you know. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it really, really, really is. And ultimately, that's going to be the pick that I go with. I'll go with Green Bay over San Diego.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Timeout. Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.